In terms of who we want to see, I don't care who we play. I mean, I know that's that is in just a general term, but whoever we play, we've got to be able to do what we do. The understanding what your own club can do is for me first and foremost.
That's Ricky Renteria, White Sox skipper, as we head into hour two here on Inside the Clubhouse on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito with you. We head on out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park.
President and General of your playoff-bound Chicago White Sox, Rick Hahn, nice enough to take some time out on a Saturday morning to join us on Inside the Clubhouse. That's sound old to you, playoff bound Chicago White Sox, will it, Rick?
No, hopefully, over the next several years, we'll be able to say that repeatedly, because that obviously was the mission that we set out on a little over, well, now almost 4 years ago when we began this rebuild. So it's good to get there in 2020, but we obviously know our work's not done here over the next few months, much less over the next few years.
Looking at, we'll get into, some of the heavier topics that are happening right now, but you on many occasions, whether it was in person or Zoom, starting in spring training in Glendale and going through this, cautioned us and pointed out that the White Sox are a very good team. We hope to get to the playoffs, which you have accomplished. We hope to win the World Series. But that we are still a team developing. We are still a team that's going to get better. And we are still a team that is going to have some growing pains because of player development. Can you just talk a little bit about that and your perception of that right now as you close in on going to the playoffs?
I think that one of the larger themes for this season was this team learning how to win and learning how to compete at the highest level for championship. At the end of last season, we talked about where we were in terms of this rebuild, and we were pretty clear that we felt that sort of the first stage had been completed in terms of talent accumulation, in terms of coming up with a young core, albeit not all of it was necessarily here in Chicago already, and we'll still be adding to it in the next year or so. And that it was time to take that next step, that sort of transition stage that ultimately would get us to the third stage of being ready to win a championship. And the question really was how long this middle stage was going to take. And that was only going to be answered in part by the acquisitions we were able to make over the offseason and in part by being blessed with good health, but also in terms of how quickly this sort of young group came together and learned how to win. And we've seen, over the course of certainly over the last week, but over the last 2 months, the progress with this group and still the challenges that lay ahead. There's as frustrating as the last several days have been, the fact that we're finishing this season playing, 17 in a row and 14 in a row to finish against playoff teams is actually a really good experience for these guys. The environment when we played Minnesota last week, certainly when we played in Cleveland the last several days, that's been a playoff environment, or at least as close as you can get to it without fans in the ballpark. And playing in that, those consequential games late in the season with that level of intensity is a wonderful experience for this young group to go through, much less what we're going to experience starting next week when the playoffs begin. So this is serving us well. Obviously, our aim is to win this year's championship. But if for whatever reason we fall short of that, there is going to be important progress made this year.
Yeah, Rick, and Bruce and I were just looking at the playoff seedings and what if the season ended today, which would be completely different than what it'll look like when the season actually does end after play tomorrow. And we heard Ricky say coming into the segment, the cut we played, basically I don't care who we play in the playoffs. As the team's general manager and watching the peaks and valleys and the ups and downs and everything that's happened in this crazy season, heading into the postseason, How was it that are you able to look back on that with your wide lens and say, okay, here's where this team is at right now, and let's go get them.
You know, looking at it with a wide lens, I think that if you had told any of us before the season started that we were going to win, you know, 34 to 36 games and be a playoff team and enter the last weekend with a chance still to win the division, we probably would have been pretty excited about that. We would have viewed that, you know, back in spring training as real good progress for this team and a good position to be in. It's easy to lose sight of that over the last week, given the way we've played, and it certainly has been real frustrating. And you know, maybe we should have looked at the fine print in spring training if someone had offered that to us and realized that this last week was going to be challenging, but to get there. But it's with the wide lens, you can see that progress. But honestly, you know, when you're in the midst of a slump like this, it's easy to lose sight of that. You are so focused on trying to win that night's ball game, and the team wanting to just, you know, get that victory under the belt and the slump and you know, get ready for entering the postseason, hopefully with momentum. But the fact is you're right, from a wide lens standpoint, this has been a real positive overall, given where we sit today.
Rick Hahn joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. He is the Vice President, General Manager of your Southside Players and franchise. Rick, as we talk about the growth chart for your players, we would be remiss not talking about that for your manager and coaches as well, being in this position for the first time as a group with a team that has a chance to win and are now advancing to the playoffs. You look back at Thursday and Ricky taking a lot of heat for his decision making and the growth of dealing with those situations, coming through it, standing up and being the guy he has to be moving forward. How would you say that this is for him and the coaches as far as dealing with the reality of important games for the first time in their careers, in their positions?
Well, look, I think that we saw how accountable Ricky was the other day and stood up and answered the questions in the face of criticism, which is what you would want in that scenario. I don't feel like there necessarily was the need for any growth in that regard in terms of, you know, taking responsibility and being accountable. That's been something that Ricky and this staff has preached to the players going back to the early stages of this rebuild, and it's part of the culture that all of us wanted to create. So the fact that he's living up to that is not a surprise, and it is what we've seen for the last several years. Perhaps because the games are more intense and the stakes are a little higher, it falls under more scrutiny, but I think in terms of being up to that challenge, he and the staff have always have been.
Yeah, he and Coop both got pretty hot last night after the whole bat flip thing, and then Jimmy Cordero with the ball that got away from him and hit Contreras got a little fire in their steps there yesterday.
Yeah, and look, that's understandable. Having the stakes are high, the desire to enter the postseason in peak form is in, you know, burning in all those guys. So yeah, the competitiveness is going to spill over sometimes. I think that in the end, showing that passion and that fight is a positive, and it's not a surprise to any of us who are around the team and around Ricky. That comes out in that scenario. He's always going to want to defend his guys, and if he felt like something wasn't handled properly and without the explanation he was looking for, that you're going to see that fire from him. I mean, I think we went like 55 games without an ejection, and then we last several days we've had like five. So it's certainly that time of year where things have peaked up a little bit in terms of the intensity, and seeing our coaches respond to that isn't a surprise.
Ooh, hitting a player that just showed you up. Oh boy, that's so horrible. How has baseball changed so much, Rick, over the years, where this was just a formality, you know, 10 years ago? You know, if you hit a home run and you showed the opposition up a little bit, now it's considered in 2020, guys have a right to establish themselves as entertainers as well as performers. And how dare you throw at them? Where have we gone, and how do you perceive that type of change?
No, you're probably actually better suited to speak to how dramatic the change has been over the last several decades. From my standpoint, quite frankly, like, if you don't want the guy to potentially showboat or bat flip or whatever, get him out. Don't give him the opportunity to have something to celebrate. My answer is exactly the same whether we're talking about an opponent celebrating something they've done against us as it would be when, you know, a year ago when we're talking about Tim Anderson or any of our players who are demonstrating a little personality on the field. There's not room in the current game, in my opinion, for taking a player's, potentially risking a player's health by mm-hmm. intentionally throwing an object at them. And I think that's probably the best approach, and it's the one our club has followed over the course of the last several years. Obviously, you know, we've far more often been on the other side of potentially receiving, you know, criticism for being, you know, showing perhaps a little more flair or excitement on the field than old school baseball would allow. But again, that's part of the player showing their own personality, and there's a way to stop that from happening, and that's by keeping them in the park.
Yep. Rick Hahn is our guest here on Inside the Clubhouse. A few more minutes here with Bruce Levine and Mike Esposito. And Rick, as we look ahead to the playoffs, you know, Bruce and I, we love to speculate. We look at how that rotation lines up, and I know you're not going to give away any trade secrets. You guys may not know just yet how that rotation is going to slide out, but certainly Dane Dunning has pitched himself into consideration, and we'll see him tonight against John Lester.
Yeah, Dane is definitely in the mix for potentially starting that game three. And in a three-game series with Giolito and Keuchel going 1-2, we might have the ability come game three to be a little creative in how we deploy our pitchers that day, depending on the usage the first couple of days. But whether it's Dane or Lopey or Cease starting that game, or some combination of usage of all of them during that game, we're going to have some options. And, obviously we're getting to the point where our bullpen with Evan Marshall returning yesterday, where our bullpen is now fully healthy, knock on wood, and gives Ricky and the coaches a fair amount of options in terms of how they want to play matchups in a series deciding game in game three, should we get there.
A fascinating part of this year, and it's been fascinating on both sides of town, but for you guys in particular, has been the development and ascension of Garrett Crochet coming on and never having pitched in professional baseball, only pitched 3 1/3 innings of college ball in 2020, coming on and looking like a guy, and again, it's only a sample size, but a guy that's comfortable and dominant at the same time. I wonder how much you've enjoyed that and how much you're looking forward to that continuing through a playoff run.
You know, it really has been pretty remarkable, Bruce. As you alluded to, he's thrown more innings now in the big leagues than he did in college this year, which is just stunning and obviously a byproduct of the pandemic and what we're all living through right now. But this kid, going back to the draft when Mike Shirley and his guys, you know, basically pounded the table from the start about what this kid's capable of doing, and including potentially helping us this year. That was not necessarily part of the original intent, but we knew it was a possibility based upon what Mike Shirley and Phil Gulley and all the others were telling us about him, much less what you were able to see in the limited video and the analytics behind it. Then when he got to Schaumburg and, you know, was working in front of our player development staff, the reports we were getting from, you know, from Everett Eifert and Matt Valesky and Chris Getz, not just about the stuff, which everyone obviously was aware of, but about the composure and the makeup, about how this guy had the ability to, you know, stand out there on a big league mound only a few weeks after being drafted and handle it. And that's probably been the most impressive part. The stuff has been, you know, very similar to as advertised. The ability to come up to the big leagues and compete against big league hitters in big situations like the ones in Cleveland last week has been real impressive. And then, you know, we're thrilled to have him going forward and look forward to seeing what he can do over the next few weeks.
Rick, as we head into the playoffs, and I'm going to include this weekend in that because you guys still have plenty to play for with these last two games of the regular season with the Cubs. Earlier this season, it was almost a, you know, we're a young team, we're loose, we're going to do our thing, we're playing great. And obviously, as you mentioned, the last week has been a struggle. Do you think they're able to flip that switch back to whatever it is they have to do? I know it's not easy and it's certainly not automatic. Do you think they're going to be able to flip that switch back to the team that was crushing the ball earlier this season?
I do. And honestly, like, again, this last week has been, you know, very frustrating for everyone involved. At the same time, it's going to be a good learning experience. It's going to serve them well. You've heard me say over the years when we've talked about prospects and promotions that when guys struggle in the minor leagues, that's actually okay because eventually they learn the tools to pull themselves out of it. And inevitably at the big league level, at some point, there's going to be struggles for the individual player, and it's good for them to have the resources to pull back that experience when they're in the minors and how they were able to pull themselves out of it. That's not dissimilar on a team level. Obviously, we've struggled the last few days, given the combination of talent and the veterans who have been through this before. Suspect we are going to pull out of this thing, and for the long term, it's going to serve us well to have the recollection of having gone through this during the playing, you know, playoff caliber teams in the midst of a pennant race. And being able to come out of it and fight and compete and win into October. So for the long term, as unpleasant as it is to sit through for the last several days, I do think it's going to benefit us for the long term.
In closing with you, Rick, and we appreciate it at the station, Mike and I as well, for taking some time out on this Saturday, closing out the season here. It would seem pretty simple for teams to set up their postseason roster with their top two pitchers, but I look at it as a very complicated mix. And I wonder if you'll allow me to, or tell me whether I'm overthinking it or not, but you have Keuchel with all of this experience and, you know, can set the tone for the playoffs. And then you have Giolito, who's the ace of your staff. How much time and concentration do you guys spend tossing that around and coming up with a mix, because you know the second game of a 2-out-of-3 series is an elimination game already. So it's territory where people haven't gone before in decades.
Are you saying in terms of the ordering of the who goes game one and who goes game two?
Yeah.
You know, I think we're in a – I feel like we're in a position where we obviously have a – great deal of confidence in both of those two starters, and add into that mix that we have been able to rest and manage the bullpen in a way that we should enter both games one and two, fully armed, so to speak, and having, you know, multiple quality options behind each of them. So I don't think we feel like one guy necessarily has to go game one or game two. We like the way we stack up for both of those days. And then, as I alluded to earlier, should we find ourselves in a game three situation, an all or nothing game three situation, especially with those guys going in the first two, we could be very well positioned with multiple different options to get us through that final game. So, again, given the caliber of both Giolito and Keuchel, backed up by, knock on wood, should be a rested and healthy pen, we'll take our chances both ways with either of those guys. So I don't think you can necessarily go wrong in terms of the ordering.
Yeah, I believe that your bullpen could be the very best and the most dominant going into postseason. Rick, thank you so much for joining us, taking some time out. Best of luck. Congrats again on making the playoffs this year.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
Rick. So, Rick Hahn, your vice president, general manager of the Chicago White Sox. Some interesting things that he hit on there. And, you know, Rick, not one to back away from direct questions. Always great to have him on the station.
Absolutely. No, and it's fun to talk to him, too, because and we've heard him talk about this, too, Bruce, the process and the progress of a young team, you know, at the beginning of the rebuild. And then as they progress through this and now, you know, are they early? Are they hitting this early? But then, you know, why not them? They're playing great. And now they're in a slump as a team. They're struggling. They've lost six in a row. All of the various things mixing together. But they still have these two games this weekend against the Cubs. They still have the playoffs, and it'll be fascinating to see how the White Sox do and what they look like this weekend. And maybe yesterday was a wake-up call for them. We'll find out as we head into today. Today's game, I should mention, right here on the score, John Lester for the Cubs, Dane Dunning for the White Sox. Matt Spiegel will have a special hit and run at 3, followed by Zach Zaidman's pregame at 5:10. We need to take a break. When we come back, before we're out of here, Kyle Hendricks of the Chicago Cubs will join us. We'll talk to him about what's going on the north side as they prepare for the playoffs. It's Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. And we're back on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, Mike Esposito here with you. Last weekend of the regular season, heading into the playoffs where both the Cubs and the White Sox will be present. Bruce, certainly an exciting finish with Crosstown Series and then the playoffs and tonight's game, John Lester and Dane Dunning. And for the White Sox, really, they've lost six straight. We just heard Rick Hahn, the GM, talking to us, talking about what needs to happen. But in the meantime, we head on out to the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is in Melrose Park.
The fine pitcher and fine gentleman as well of the Chicago Cubs, Kyle Hendricks, nice enough to take some time out this Saturday morning for us on Inside the Clubhouse. Kyle, great to talk to you. First of all, perspective, I've been able to talk to you all. Such a bad time for everybody, knowing that you know, lumps like me, media people who are able to come in every day and talk. We realize now what a, you know, and, you know, great opportunity is to go into a club like yourself. We're not able to do it since March. So it's just, it's great to be able to talk to you and welcome to the show.
Yeah, always, guys. Yeah, I miss having you guys down there. And there's a lot of things that are different this year, you know. But that's one of the bad ones. And, yeah, it's good to finally be on here. First time.
From the viewpoint of, let's just start with yesterday's game. We just had general manager of the White Sox, Rick Hahn, on talking about showing personality like Wilson did after the home run and, you know, kind of just, it was just stepping up and, you know, getting everybody going after a tough road trip. How, as a baseball player, do you look at it? Rick said the key to not getting showed up is to just get that player out and not to worry about how the person is shown in the game these days. What's your perspective?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of on the same thought process as that. You know, just go out there and play the game. We're worried about what we're doing, you know, worried about our side and how we conduct ourselves. And yeah, Wilson, that was awesome. If someone hits a home run off me, yeah, they can go ahead and do whatever they want. That's what they did. Like he said, should try and get the guy out. So yeah, that was awesome to see just all around last night from the whole lineup, you know, just the solid contact. We've been putting together good at-bats. Seems like we've been lining out everywhere. So finally to get some balls to fall in and then just to hit some balls over the fence. I mean, it was just a really fun game last night for sure.
Yeah, and also last night, and Bruce and I talked about it earlier in the show, and the guy's been there all season along with you, but Yu Darvish has been fantastic. And again last night, I mean, you guys got out to that early lead, and you just cruised, and he has been dominant this season.
Yeah, you said it exactly. He has been absolutely dominant this season. He's so much fun to watch, take the ball every fifth day, and just his demeanor, his body language on the mound, just that ace that we need him to be attacking. just been a bulldog all year long. And yeah, he's so much fun to be able to sit right there behind home plate and watch what he does. It's really a treat. So yeah, that was huge for the team, honestly, just to put up a couple runs, but then for him just to go out and shut it down, to be able to go and build the lead and kind of work on that momentum. I think it was just a big game overall for us, just to go out and have some fun.
Rossi hasn't said whether it's you or him starting game one or game two of the playoffs. I know from just dealing with you that, you know, it doesn't really matter because these games are both so huge. But from the perspective of being ready for you, there is a potential of being 8 games in between your last start and maybe pitching Wednesday or Thursday. How do you stay ready with that long drought time in between that you don't normally have? And is there a potential for you getting in a game like tomorrow for an inning or so, just to keep that freshness going against facing lineups?
Yeah, you know, I think there's just some extra throwing that you can do, get some extra bullpens in, a little bit of extra work on the side. There have been so many things this year that we've had to adapt to and change. You know, when we had that hiccup in St. Louis, we had about a week between starts when we were dealing with all that. So yeah, it's nothing new to us. We did discuss possibly throwing on Sunday, but that was kind of more on if we really needed it to get into postseason or something. That's what we had been discussing earlier. So I think it's just going to be throwing a few extra bullpens, getting ready. And like you said, we got to win 2 big games anyway. So whatever Rossi decides to do, I know we'll all be ready to go and ready to play, and we're super excited for playoffs for sure.
Kyle, year one with Rossi, as you mentioned, nothing this year has been normal, but being a guy that that you've played with before and now comes in as the manager, has he been everything you expected he would be when he got the job?
Yeah, I think he's been everything and more that we expected. I mean, he's just awesome, just as a human being in general, the dude that he is. But then just as a baseball guy, I mean, he just knows the game. He loves it. The energy, the passion he brings every single day, the focus, you know, and just how he treats the guys, you know, he just knows what he's doing out there. So we love going out and playing for him. We love winning for him. You know, just cause like I said, of that passion and that energy he brings. So it's been such a fun year having him, especially with everything that's been going on, all the craziness, for him to be at the helm of it, kind of steady in the ship. He's really made it a fun year for us overall.
Kyle Hendricks of the Chicago Cubs joining us on The Score. It's Inside the Clubhouse. Every week, 52 weeks out of the year, we talk baseball from 9 to 11. And Kyle, you know, talking to Rossi and a couple other managers recently, they said the opposite of what a lot of people would think, that this 60 games will be looked back upon winning a championship as something really extraordinary from what you, the players and the staffs and the teams have had to do to stay safe during COVID and isolation from your families. Can you advance us right now to what it's like for your wife and other people's families that are going to travel, what they've had to do to isolate over the last week or so, to be able to quarantine and be ready to join you guys after this series if you move on to Texas for the playoffs?
Yeah, exactly. So there've been a lot of challenges, you know, outside of the baseball field this year. So it will mean a lot to, you know, whoever comes through being the champion at the end of this year. But just for families overall, for us, yeah, we got back from Pittsburgh and had to go right into the hotel. So families basically need to stay for a week, and then whenever we get through that first series, then we'll be able to head to Texas for the wild card, and basically they're for the division, sorry, but basically they're trying to just create a bubble right now just to start. So yeah, really there's not much you can do. You can go out for walks. They got a little outside area for us to hang out in, but I think it is kind of fun. I see a lot of guys getting to hang out with their kids, be with them. So at least that's a good part of it. At least they get to be around and you get to see them all the time. So it could be a lot worse for sure. But no, it's an interesting setup to say the least, but at least guys are saying, at least we get to be around our families, we get to see them, and at least we get to play baseball. So, you know, we'll take that for sure.
Yeah, and Kyle, you hit on a little bit the new playoff format and the expanded expanded numbers of teams. So you've got 8 per league now instead of the previous 5. How has that played out in your clubhouse? Do you think this is something that going forward would be welcomed if MLB decides to keep a system similar to this one with the expanded playoff scenarios? And certainly, I mean, Bruce and I had to try to figure out the math and do everything else to try to figure out seedings and everything before it was interesting, but it certainly makes things more exciting, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the feel of a lot of guys, too, is that it makes it really exciting. You know, it's coming down to the last game of the year, and there's still a lot of potential. There's a lot of teams that are still in it, even with 2 games left here. So yeah, it's just bringing attention to the sport, making it exciting. So, no, I don't think guys are opposed to it. It's going to be a point of discussion for sure. But, no, our focus is on ourselves in that clubhouse, you know, and just being as good as we can be and making it in. So, at the end of the day, though, we do know. We pay attention a little bit to the game, obviously. So it's just exciting to see all the attention on the game. And, you know, it coming down to the last game of the season always makes it fun for fans, for sure.
Kyle, because of COVID in this year and the truncated season, has this been an occasion where players, and you guys have already been a very close unit for a long period of time, the core guys that have been there since you have at the beginning of this run, has this made for players being even closer with each other because there were no other places to go? You couldn't go out. You needed to depend on each other to stay healthy. Has this brought on a new dimension of players being close to their teammates?
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. You know, one way to say it is it's kind of all we have. You know, we're always hanging out around each other. When we come back to the hotels, we have little outside areas set up that we can go kind of eat kind of together and hang out. So, yeah, we have gotten a lot closer, if that was even possible. We're already a pretty close group, you know. But, yeah, we're kind of all we have. So it's been really fun just reconnecting, getting even closer with the guys, hanging out every day. And when we go to the field, you know, that's kind of our time to let loose. We feel like kids again, and we're kind of out, you know, out and get to have fun. So the energy at the ballpark has just been awesome because we know we have to create it ourselves without the fans being there, which is obviously super unfortunate. We miss them, and we notice it every day, just how big of an impact fans have on the game. So it's just it's come down to us having to create our own energy, so it kind of just forces us to be even closer than we were before, for sure. Yeah.
The other thing that strikes me, Kyle, as you look at the makeup of the Cubs roster is you guys have been together. I mean, it's unusual in modern sports. This core, you know, the group of you that has been together really going back 4 or 5 years or longer in some cases, you know, with pieces added here and there. But, you know, the bulk of you guys have really been together since before the World Series run.
Yeah, you're right, for sure. I think it's been something pretty special. You know, you may not be lucky enough to find a team that's going to operate that way, but, you know, I think we all just kind of came on together and just luckily enough just formed this group, and we were able to stick together, like you said, for now 4 or 5 years. And it's just been an unbelievable ride. And obviously you'd love it to never end, but the nature of the sport is guys move on, guys go to other teams. So we're just really trying to stay in the moment, take advantage of every opportunity we do have with this group, because we do know how close we are and how special each of the guys around us is, for sure.
Kyle, in closing, and Mike and I and people at the Score really appreciate you coming on today and taking some time out. Wish you all the best of luck moving toward the playoffs. The new rules this year, at least 2 of them directly impact pitchers. Number 1, universal DH that you've had to deal with as a pitcher, and number 2, the man on second base in the late innings automatically being there without earning their way on. From your perspective as a baseball player, pitcher, and baseball fan, how do you look at these things and how they've worked, and what are your thoughts about them going forward?
Yeah, I think they've worked great, especially for this year. You know, we don't want games going too long, and just with the DH coming in, it's been a different dynamic. Given you put some more runs on the board, make it a little more exciting for fans. So No, I think they've both worked out well, and going forward, we'll just have to see what everyone talks about and decides to do, you know. Either way it goes, I think, like I've always said, whatever the rules are in the game, the players will adapt to. There have been a lot of changes over the past 100-plus years in this game, so, you know, whatever changes come, we'll adapt to it, and that'll be the new norm, and that's kind of how it's been this year. You kind of forget now that, oh, yeah, the DH is in the NL. I do kind of miss hitting every once in a while. I'm not going to lie, but overall, no, it's just been baseball, you know. So we focus on our task at hand, what we need to do going out there trying to win ball games. So, no, it's been fun. It's been fun getting another position player to go out there, score some more runs, and not have to worry about me going up there and looking crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, nothing more odd, as you touched on already, Kyle, is the fans not being there. And it seemed the most obvious to me when I was watching Alec Mills throw the no-hitter. And then you have your group celebrating and then no fans going crazy anywhere. Just the dynamic alone of no fans this year. You guys have adjusted well, but does it still leave you with an empty feeling going out and playing and participating every day?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Absolutely. That's been the biggest thing by far, is no fans around. You know, I think, kind of like I said earlier, you don't really realize all the energy they bring and just how much of the game really revolves around them. You know, it's all about the fans. And just eliminating that completely from the game, it's really glaring, just the difference that it makes, for sure. Just in our energy that we bring, all around, there's just a lot of issues you see pop up. So, no, we love having the fans in there playing for them, that energy they create, and them always behind us. So hopefully we can get through all this, you know, and hopefully next year we can get them back in the seats, because that's the way we definitely like playing, for sure.
Congratulations on getting through the season and all that you and your families have had to do, as well as the organizations. Everybody's worked so hard at it. And congratulations on getting in the playoffs. Maybe a celebration, a couple more would be in line here very soon. Thanks again for joining us today, Kyle. Best of luck to you.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Kyle Hendricks of the Chicago Cubs. And he does let you know for sure, Mike, as we go to break here, that it's been a challenge from a personal and family point, but we're all thrilled that sports are back and that baseball's made it through at least the regular season.
Absolutely. And huge games this weekend, Bruce. Lester and Dane Dunning is your pitching matchup tonight. Cubs taking on the White Sox. All weekend long on the Score, the Wintrust Crosstown Series presented by Xfinity. Xfinity X-Fi delivers blazing fast Wi-Fi with no curveballs. As Bruce mentioned, it's time for a break here on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score. Back here on Inside the Clubhouse on 670 The Score, Cubs and Sox closing out the regular season. Two more games. John Lester, Dane Dunning tonight, Bruce, on the South Side.
Absolutely, and we have people to thank. Also, program information, which is important for you the rest of the day. Rosie and Grody next coming up in their own particular fun and style of sports talk. Bears All Access after that. At 3 o'clock, our friend Matt Spiegel with Hit and Run from 3 until 5:10. Zach Zaidman takes over the broadcast at that point with the Cubs pregame show, Cubs and White Sox, tonight as well. And then, of course, we have people to thank. Rick Hahn of the Chicago White Sox for joining us. The general manager of that team joined us at 10 o'clock. And, of course, Kyle Hendricks of the Chicago Cubs filling in as well. And speaking of filling in, Mike, thanks a lot for filling in for Spiegs this week. It was great fun. People can follow me on Twitter at MLB Bruce Levine. They can also find my writing on the White Sox and Cubs every day on 670thescore.com. It should be great theater the rest of this weekend going into the playoffs next week.
Absolutely, Bruce. Always great to be here with you on the show. Our thanks to Adam Studzinski as well, doing a great job producing the show. Also, a reminder for our Bears fans out there, tomorrow our pregame show with Hub, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz, the Bet Rivers pregame show presented by Mail Medical. They will get you ready for Bears and Falcons. Bruce mentioned the schedule today, Cubs Sox tonight. Coming up next, though, boy, get your seatbelts on. It's Rosenblum and Grody. Saturday Suckage coming up next right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Yeah.